Now, it's time to go Inside the Green Room with Danny Green.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. I'm Harrison Stanford. Please do us a favor before we talk about all the NBA playoffs things going down. Subscribe, rate, and review. Give us a 5-star. Give us a follow. Write a little rating saying this show is fire. All of those good things, we are appreciated. The more you do that, the more we can do this. And you're going to like this because today we're not just going to talk about the NBA playoffs. We're also going to talk about some beef in the rap world. But also, before we even get to that, if you guys happen to hear some noise in the background, just understand that Wynn Green, Danny's son, is also, I guess, a co-host of Inside the Green Room, Danny, huh?
Yeah, it's called part of dad life, bro. There's going to be kids' noises in the background from time to time, so got to get used to it.
How is it? How old is Wynn now?
Almost 8 months. It happens fast.
Yeah, happens fast.
What's been the biggest Wynn development over the past month?
Oh man, like there's milestones each month. You know, they start to learn to find their feet. They start to learn to roll over. He's done those things. They start to learn their voice and squeal. They learn their laugh. I think the biggest thing now is him eating solids and, I guess, using hand to hand. Like, it's a big milestone for them to be able to know to move toys and stuff hand to hand. So he's been doing that with toys and food. And the teeth are in, like the teeth are in the teething thing. He's probably got 6 teeth or so. Yeah, he's coming along, man. He's coming along. So I'm obviously people love the stage where they can't walk, but I think I'm ready for to be able to have to carry him everywhere. For me is like kind of a pain in the ass, but like they want him not to be mobile. Like, I'm ready for him to be mobile. So this is the stage where people love, where they can just still hold them and they can't go anywhere without them. You can watch them. You don't have to like worry about them getting into stuff. Like, I get that part of it, but I'm ready to have to like not have to carry him everywhere.
I understand that. Saturday must have been a good day as a parent. Got to spend time with Wynn. Didn't have to watch any basketball because the NBA decided to have zero games on Saturday. So I hope for those people out there across the country or wherever you're listening from, that you were able to enjoy your Saturday. Sunday it got real, but it also got real on Saturday too. Because on Saturday, the world, at least the hip-hop world, was tuned in to the beef between Drake and Kendrick
everybody.
Lamar.
Everybody else.
Drake and everybody. If you guys were under a rock, Mr. Drake, Drizzy, Champagne Drizzy, whatever his nicknames are, put out a diss track, The Boy, addressing a number of hip-hop artists who have tried to take shots at him, whether it was Kendrick Lamar, whether it was Rick Ross, whether it was, ironically, Danny, The Weeknd has gone anti-Drake. That's nuts to me, considering where Weeknd came from. I don't know, and also I don't know if he shot an official shot at ASAP Rocky, but one of his lyrics make me believe that he did, but he just didn't name names. And he also went at Metro Boomin. Surprisingly enough, he didn't go at Future, which was surprising. Well, maybe he did. He just didn't name names. Nonetheless, in the end of the track, he said, "I got more. Don't wake the demon up." And it looks like Drake got things in his bag. He definitely punched back after that last Kendrick Lamar diss track came out on the Metro Boomin tape.
Yeah, he strategically had a leak, and only part of it leaked to see, I guess, where it was going to stand. But he's smart, man. He knows what he's doing. Everything is strategic with him. He waited in due time, and I think he waited in due time to have more than one, you know, in the chamber, more than one bullet in the chamber. So I think he laid down a couple of them and said, we're waiting to see at least two more come from him. This was just a jab, you know, a warning shot. But Ross was right back at it, man, even more impressively. Guy heard it, went right in the
really?
Booth. You haven't heard Ross's?
I haven't heard Ross's yet.
And Ross is like the Mike Breen in a studio. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just got a flow and a voice that, you know what I'm saying, just hits home when you listen into the track. And it don't even have to be great lyrically, even though he is good lyrically. When he's at his best,
he's got authority with the microphone.
Yes, but said he's the Mike Breen in the studio, and it just sounds, you know, it hits, it flows well. So he was flowing. You got to listen to Ross's, man, and he had a really good less than 2 hours, said in 2 hours he got in the booth and dropped something.
He so probably was impressed ready.
By that.
He probably was
ready. He was, I think they all are, man. But he was just like, all right, cool. Like, he had this in the chamber as well. He might not have a bunch, but he had, like, I have one in the chamber if something pops off. So he was like, all right, I had a beat ready, went in the studio, laid one down, and then came out 2 hours later, and he had a jab back. So it's going to get interesting, man. But this is the hip-hop world we grew up in. This is what we love to see. We want to hear, make it competitive. Because realistically, in the last couple of years, it hasn't been nowhere near of what me and you, I have been a fan of in terms of, as I said, we love that the females are taking over, but all the pop and all the auto-tune and all the catchy, phrazy, like,
yeah, and,
you know what I'm saying? Some of the mumble stuff.
The TikTok jams.
Yeah, like, that's not for us. So we're finally getting some good lyrical competition, which is great, and we need it. Because it's a hip-hop is slowly like going into this phase that is just not for our generation at all. So yeah, man, I'm excited to see what comes next, bro. And Nicole, he apologized, he bowed out. Maybe he just want to keep going back and forth. He knew this was going to happen. And also think there's more to it than we think behind the scenes. And that's why he probably bowed out. So, you know, everything is strategic with these guys today. They're not dummies. They know exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Hey, even Simba shot a little diss track at J. Cole too for not participating in the beef. And then Kaz on the Dreamville family threw a little jab back at Simba for even trying to get into the squabble. It's been quite entertaining. I think for the thing for Drake though, that makes it so difficult. And he posted a meme of one of my favorite movies, Kill Bill. He posted a meme about it when in that one scene in Kill Bill, Uma Thurman went to a restaurant and she had to kill like 20, 50 people. The scene, I believe they said, the rumor was that they had to make the scene black and white because if they made the scene in color, then the movie would have had to change from a rated R to NC-17. That's how bloody the scene is. So they had to make the scene black and white. For those who haven't seen the movie, it's absolutely fire. You need to go see it. By the way, any Quentin Tarantino movie is fire. You need to see
it. 100%. Yeah.
With that said, though, it's like for Drake, it's like, bro, you have so many people trying to come at you, like you can't even lock in on Kendrick. You gotta address
everyone.
All of the everyone. I don't know what he did, but they're all coming for him.
Yeah, man. Like I said, there's a lot more behind it. And I think there's some, not a bunch of serious. There's a little bit more seriousness to it. Why J. Cole bowed out. I think there's some real beef with certain people that he has. But you know, he's living the life of a rock star, man. And sometimes that rustle some feathers, you know what I'm saying? People do not like some of the things that he's done or way he has moved in the past, maybe with some of the people they've talked to or dated, and even Ja caught a stray, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
everybody's catching a stray, so that's what happens in the industry. And you know, if people move a certain way, certain things happen, guys may not agree or like it. Some people are more sensitive about certain things, but like I said, for us as fans, I think we're excited to see it, and it's fun to see hip hop in that realm. So, you know, I'm staying tuned, man. I'm locked in. I can't wait to see the next one who drops what next. So, yeah, it's Kendrick. I don't know. I'm sure Kendrick's going to come back with something, but Kendrick started this, and he's trying to get some fire going.
But I don't think see
it's strategic with him, too, because he's trying to drop something soon.
He's dropping an album soon. So it all makes sense. But with that said, Danny, Kendrick didn't start it. And, you know, when we did this pod a while back ago, you said First Person Shooter, the song with J. Cole and Drake, is one of the best lyrical songs of all time. This past weekend, I listened to First Person Shooter again. I'm like, oh, this is what Danny is talking about. It's absolutely fire when you actually listen to the actual lyrics. And when you listen to the lyrics, you realize Drake and J. Cole, while they weren't dissing Kendrick Lamar, they're basically saying like, yeah, we acknowledge he's in our realm, but we're the two at the top. And if Kendrick took a long time, if that's what Kendrick was responding to, it took him a damn long time to respond.
It was that everything is strategic with these guys. I mean, ain't no just jumping right away. It's like, all right, I need the right time to do this, to build some momentum, to build some steam. Maybe right before it benefits me, my album is coming out, so I'm going to drop that. And said, Cole to me said one of the lyric, his bars, like his two or three different verses in that song was one of the best lyrically of all time. And I would have loved to have seen him continue to join this fight because even his clap back was still solid, but I was like, all right, I know he got more. But Cole was just on another level, man. The features that he had during that span. So, you know, that was interesting for me. We all know Drake got a pen. We know Kendrick got a pen. We know Cole has a pen too. But I'm just, during this time of how much he's on fire, I wanted to hear what he had. And you know what I'm saying? I don't think they were dissing anybody else. But, bro, First Person Shooter was, that was it, bro. It was dope. It's at him lyrically. Drake's verse on it was solid. It wasn't like his best ones. But we've seen him go off before. We've seen him go ham before.
But when Drake was talking about having a Grammy as a doorstop, I mean, come on. What we come on.
He has a different type of flex, man. He has a different type of flex. Yeah. So we've seen him lyrically, what he can do with the pen. And now it's starting to, now it's like, all right, who's gonna show up? Who get your pens out? Get your pads and pens out. Who's doing the research? Who's gonna put it in a certain realm? He might bring out Wayne for all we know. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really wanna mess with that man.
I love where it's at. As long as we don't get to the East Coast, West Coast beef like we had in the early 90s, then we'll all be straight. We'll all be straight. With that being said, Danny, I'm not gonna be too straight. Tonight, this is Sunday night, we're recording this episode, and I'm not going to be too straight tomorrow either, tomorrow being Monday, because...
No basketball,
outside of live sports, it's rough out here. Now, I had a couple of refuges, shows that I could rely on that would provide me entertainment when I'm not watching basketball, and unfortunately, Danny, it has come to an end. Curb Your Enthusiasm, 12 seasons of glory from Larry David, the greatest sitcom writer in the history of American television, has hung up the jersey. Last week was the series finale. It was fantastic. They made up for all of the mistakes that they made with the Seinfeld finale, the guest appearances by Sanaa Lathan. Oh, yes. The guest appearances by Jerry Seinfeld and the cast of characters. Bravo to the Curb Your Enthusiasm family. It was well done, but now we're in a drought. I got no idea what I can watch, Danny. So I am relying on you, the people who listen to this podcast, who watch this podcast on YouTube, are relying on you because you call yourself an entertainment aficionado when it comes to movies and television shows. What are we going to do for the next 48 hours?
There's so many, there's so many you can binge watch that I have to go back, but I have plenty. I have a plethora of.
Well, we need.
You want action?
I need the creme de la creme.
Oh, of what you haven't seen yet. So I can't do like I can just go what I've been watching lately. So I'm watching Shogun lately, which is pretty solid.
I heard Shogun's good.
Pretty solid for me, and it's still building up. I haven't caught up yet to the where I'm supposed to be at, and I watched the newest True Detective series, which the first series is unbelievable. Mm. The third one was solid. The fourth one was pretty good too. So those are the two recent ones that I'm watching. I'm still trying to catch Godzilla King Kong. I heard it was absolutely amazing. And because I was scared that it was going to be corny, but I'm trying to get into theater, man. It's really hard to get into the theater these days when you have a little one. But the best of the best, man, if you haven't watched or seen yet and you haven't gotten into it, when you're looking at series and you're talking about the best act writers and best this and that, I don't know if you've seen Game of Thrones yet, but everything to the last season was good. Breaking Bad, another one. I don't know if you've seen Breaking Bad.
Yes. All right.
There's a couple that are at the top. The Ozarks,
Seen that.
The Killing was another good one. You've seen The Killing. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I love The Killing. Killing was great.
The Dexters of the world. I'm trying to think of who
else. That. I'm telling you, there's not a lot of good new, not... There's a lot of good TV that maybe people haven't watched. New good TV? Little dicey, my friend.
Nah, new is tough. It's tough to put that in the realm.
It's tough like, out unless here.
Unless you want like something funny, you got Sex Education. That's another good one. That's really good. Okay. British TV. You have to go into the British. So now that you're done with all that, I say you have to go right into the British realm, man. Harrigan's, he has a bunch of, spin-offs or different, so there was like Broadchurch was a good one. There's a couple of British TV, man, that you have to get in. Sex Education, highly recommend it. It's a really good one. Funny, but entertaining as hell. Things like that.
I'll try my best. Essentially, I'm leaving this conversation thinking that Shogun is what I should try to start now.
It's a solid one, man. It's a solid one. But I don't know. I haven't kept up. I don't know where it's at or where it's good. Like, it's one of those things that's starting off slow, like Game of Thrones, and it's supposed to build up to be better. So like I said, I can't give you like, oh, this is the creme. I can tell you Sex Education is one of the good ones, like the funny ones, the British TV.
Okay.
There's a one called Safe. I think it's called Safe. I think it's from, I think it's, I want to say Carl Harrigan. If it's something Harrigan. But there's a guy that does a bunch of stuff on British TV. And I think, honestly, British TV is probably better than American TV, honestly. Like, if I had to give you my opinion. So, yeah, once you go down that route, I think you won't be – you'll be pretty satisfied if you go to the British series because those are pretty good ones.
I'll give it a whirl. I'll give it a try. I will say this. What I will do this week when I have a chance is I am going to re-queue the FX spectacular series, American Crime Story, The People versus OJ. Because of everything that happened this past week, it reminded me of how damn good that series was. I'm tapping back in. Spectacular. For sure. When we come back from break, it's time to talk about the NBA playoffs. It's right on deck. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Inside the Green Room. Harrison Sanford, Danny Green. You guys already know the vibes. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can also listen to us on the go. We're using any podcast app that you use to stream podcasts, particularly the Odyssey app. And if you're listening to us using the Odyssey app or any other podcast app, when you're sitting in front of your phone or your computer, you could also watch us on YouTube as well. And you can follow us on Instagram, Inside the Green Room, as well. So do all those things. And now let's talk about the good stuff, y'all. We're down to the playoff season in NBA. But before we get to that, we get to the play-in. We're just going to break down the series as succinctly, but with as much information as we can do, and then we'll move forward. Danny, the most, I'll just keep it real with you, the least entertaining of the play-in scenario happens in the Eastern Conference. The 9-10, the Chicago Bulls versus the Atlanta Hawks. Whoever wins that game, I'm going to predict they are going to lose to the loser of Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat. So both of those teams not making the playoffs, spend any more time on it. Sorry to fans of those teams, just keeping it real. With that being said, you have the Miami Heat. They'll be on the road, traveling to Philadelphia in an 8-7 matchup. Now, the Miami Heat, once again, terrible offensive team. Once again, down at the bottom of the standings. Once again, they still have Eric Spoelstra. Once again, they still have Jimmy Butler. And those guys, come this time of year, are a team you have to worry about. And I would imagine that both of these teams would rather play against the New York Knicks, who are the 2 seed, as opposed to the Boston Celtics as the 1 seed. Who wins 7-8? Sixers versus Heat. Mind you, this game is in Philadelphia, but also, mind you, the Heat have had their way with the 76ers when it comes to playoff series.
100%, man. I want to say Philly, but they rested some guys. I don't know what Melt is at. I'm going to go with Miami. Joel's been playing well. They've been on a win streak, but I think the win streak kind of come. I don't think they've lost since he's been back yet. I'm not positive. They were on like a 6 or 7 game win streak. They've been on a 6 or 7 game win streak.
Easy schedule, but they haven't lost. If I
for
believe,
sure,
I
and, they, you're and right. They've been 8-0 since Joel's in return. So they've been on a heater, and they beat Miami in one of those of those games along the 8-0 run. So I don't see them. Yes, I don't see them doing it twice in 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So I think Miami prepares for this. I think Miami finds a way, and this one's a 50-50 toss up. But I think Miami's going to get this one and get the 7 seed. And we're going to get that Philly-Boston in the first round, which I don't think Philly wants. But I think it'll make for good, you know, exciting. As a basketball fan and TV, this will be the matchup people want to see. And if it doesn't happen, even Miami versus Boston is another good one. But, yeah, I think Miami gets this one. They're on an 8-0 heater. I think they stop the run, and then they end up playing Boston in the first round.
All right, so let's go to the other series before we evaluate what that could actually mean. We'll do that first here. Let's talk about this. So the Knicks, if you're the New York Knicks, you lost to the Miami Heat last year, and obviously Eric Spoelstra, particularly the way the Knicks only have one shot creator, I don't want to see Eric Spoelstra. On the other hand, damn, I don't necessarily want to see Joel Embiid either. And Danny, I'm going to keep it real with you. As a Knicks fan, as I was watching the game today and all the results were coming, I'm like, I want the Knicks to win every single game they play. But if there's one game I actually want them to lose, is this one. So they could play the Indiana Pacers instead of the winner of Heat 76ers. But that's not what happened. The Knicks are just not built like that. They're never going to intentionally lose a game, unlike the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk about them in a moment. With that being said, if you are a New York Knicks fan, Danny, where is your optimism level versus either team, Sixers or Heat?
I said I believe in Jalen Brunson that he can get you out of the first series alone, but he's not alone. He still has DiVincenzo. He has Josh Hart. He has OG back now. Mitchell Robinson's back. I think they have enough pieces to get it done and also give Julius some time, which I don't think he's returning at all. He's not coming back at all. It's over. Nah. But I think with the pieces that you have, that's the only person that I think you're missing. You have enough to win a round, and that's regardless of who you're playing in that first round, except for the Boston Celtics. Even with the Boston Celtics, I think they'd give them hell. But, you know, I think they wanted the second seed because I think it takes them longer to meet with Boston, correct, if I'm not mistaken? Because if you're a three seed.
Well, the two or three seed, it didn't make a difference. You're not going to see Boston to the Eastern Conference
Finals. But with the
two seed, if the Knicks end up winning their 2-7 matchup, if they end up playing the three seed, which is now the Milwaukee Bucks, the Knicks get home court advantage. So, yes, while it might create a difficult first round matchup, if you get out of it,
second round,
you get home court against the Bucks potentially or the Indiana Pacers. That's the next matchup, Bucks Pacers. We'll talk about that in a moment. But yeah, that's the situation for the Knicks. So like you gotta think longer term, even though the short term is like, damn.
For sure. And you can't run
it
don't matter. You can't run from no smoke. You got to be prepared to play whoever. If you want to be the best team, last team standing, you're going to have to go through the best. Regardless of how you try to avoid it, you're going to get tested. And the only way to get them prepared for a Boston Celtics matchup, why not would it be Miami? You know what I'm saying? Or for the Milwaukee Bucks, why would you not want to play Philly or Miami? You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the teams you need to play. Playing Indiana Pacers ain't going to get you ready for Milwaukee or Boston or Philly or Miami. So I like Tibbs' approach. It's similar to a Pop approach. You know, it don't matter who you got to win games. You know, so, and I think Doc would probably think the same way if I had to guess. There's the two guys that come to mind when it's like it don't matter who we play. We just got to be healthy and make sure that we're ready to play because we got to beat the best teams. But yeah, I think they have enough to get out that first round, especially those teams that have not been consistent. They have not been in rhythm and they have not been full health through most of the season and toward the end of the season. So Knicks haven't been full health, but they've been more consistent than those other teams.
Okay, yeah, I think the Knicks get the job done too, but I know it's going to stress my New York fan heart. I already know the wave of emotions that I'm going to be going through.
You know how the Garden's going to be, man. The Garden's going to give them at least a game or two, a game and a half. Yeah, Garden gives you a game and a half.
And I'm going to be so happy because I'm going to be in the building for every single one of those games. Oh, I cannot wait. With that being said, the Knicks did not dodge any smoke. They said, we're going to win today. We're going to get the best seed possible. We're going to let the chips fall where they may. The internet is not happy with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have somehow, some way lost their game today, even though they were heavily favored, lost at home. So now they drop down to the four seed. They, if they win their matchup, will probably see the Boston Celtics in round two. Their matchup in the 4-5, the Orlando Magic. Now, Danny, we've heard all of these conversations about Donovan Mitchell and the potential, how Dan Gilbert in the front office is going to give him a contract extension and will he sign it? I'll tell you this right now, without a shadow of a doubt, and I don't have any inside sources, if Cleveland Cavaliers lose to the Orlando Magic, Donovan Mitchell's out of there. Point blank, period. He's gone. Why the hell would he stick around for that? I know the Magic play defense, but there is absolutely no way I can see their offense being able to score well enough when their primary scorer is Paolo Banchero. And Banchero's got a future ahead of him.
But if Franz he's able Wagner. To
dominate the series, and Franz Wagner. If they're able to dominate the series with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen protecting the paint for the Cavs, considering the Magic aren't even a three-point shooting team, if they're able to bully them the same way the Knicks bullied the Cavs last year, it's curtains for the whole roster. Like, curtains for Bickerstaff, curtains for Mitchell, you really got to evaluate. Last year's loss to the Knicks was embarrassing. Jared Allen made it evident when he said the lights were too big. This loss right here, if they lost the series, downright disgraceful if they went to the Orlando Magic game.
And And we might see that happen, Harrison. I know you're going off. It's a very strong possibility. We see the disgracefulness happen. Like, the disgrace may happen. I like what Paolo's been doing. I like what Franz has been doing. I love this coaching matchup between Mosley and JB. So I want to see how this chess game happens. Like, this right now, I think it comes down to coaching. Obviously, both teams have pretty good pieces. I think Cleveland has more, but they just haven't been healthy as well. But this comes down to the chess game, and I want to see who's moving what pieces where and what adjustments are made. And this is where, I said, Mo's got his extension, rightfully so. Love the fact that he's there and brought that young team to a top five team in the Eastern Conference. They realistically could be four. You know what I'm saying? They could be, you know, 4-3 if they won some more games. So I'm waiting to see how this goes. I'm waiting to see how healthy Don is for this matchup. That's going to play a part. They just haven't had their group together for enough minutes. You know what I'm saying? With Darius, Don, Evan, Jared, they just haven't had those four guys healthy for a long enough period of time. And then you got Struce. They all haven't played a lot of minutes together. Then their bench. So I'm interested to see how they put it together last minute. Like, because this is going to be an adjustment period. And I'm sure Moses is going to play them the way that they kind of – which they can't play them the same way they played the Knicks last year because they shoot a little bit better. But they haven't seemed like they made a great jump of shooting. Unless they bring Sam Merrill off the bench and play him a lot early. It's not like there's a bunch of killers. Well, George, it's just George and Struce, and they're shooting decently. I think they're having a little, I wouldn't say down years, but they're usually shooting better or higher clips. So I'm interested to see how Mosley switches it up and how he guards them and plays them and makes the game slow, mucks up the game for Donovan, mucks up the game for Darius, and not lets them get off.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Suggs potentially guarding Darius. You got Jonathan Isaac, who's going to get a lot of all-NBA first team all defensive votes, potentially getting Don Mitchell with his length. It's not going to be easy. With that being said, Danny, you predicted the Knicks would win their first round series, and we don't know the opponent, so I can't ask you how many games. Mm-hmm. Cavs, Magic, who wins? How many games?
It goes at least six. I'm going to give the edge to Cleveland on this one just because they have a little bit more experience, a little more talent. I do think Mo's knows them well, and I think that gives Orlando an advantage. That's why it's going to be close. So I'm going to see. It's going to be a good series, better than we expect it to be. And those two teams, people really don't care to watch, but this is going to be a series, and I think it's going to go to six, but I give Cleveland the edge.
Oh, best believe it will be an NBA TV special. Let's go to the 3-6 matchup. The Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Indiana Pacers, and let's flash back to the beginning of the season. There was a lot of smoke between the Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks. So I'm kind of happy this is happening now in the playoffs. Remember, Giannis had a 50-piece, but the Pacers left with the ball because they won the game. It was kind of wild, and then they played and turned all this stuff to happen between these two teams. Now, let's keep it real. Tyrese Haliburton is not who Tyrese Haliburton was during the in-season tournament. He does not have that same burst. His aggressiveness has also changed as well. I was watching the game on Friday night. Like, you're him. Act like it. I don't know what happened to his aggressiveness. But anyways, obviously the Milwaukee Bucks dealing with their own set of issues. They changed their starting lineup 3 games before the end of the season. Giannis, we don't know when he's coming back, if he's coming back, what he'll look like if he does come back. Danny, the Bucks are so happy that this isn't Benedict Mathurin isn't available, but I'll tell you this right now. If Tyrese Haliburton is in the tournament, Tyrese Haliburton, Pacers win this series because the Bucks can't guard the perimeter even when they try. So there's a chance there, and I do think the Pacers now, particularly with Pascal there, Aaron Nesmith getting a lot of minutes, and even with TJ McConnell and Nembhard, I think they might have enough perimeter to guard Dame. Mm-hmm. It really, and I also think that between Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner, they could form a nice little wall if Giannis comes back. It all comes down to Tyrese Haliburton. Are you a star or are you a superstar? If he plays like a star, the Pacers, in my opinion, pull this off.
Yeah. They're a different team, man, than they were at the beginning of the year. I think they had their number beginning of the year. That in-season tournament, they had their number. With the trades happened, the injuries have happened, they're not the same group. And also, Tyrese, he is a very good player. But I think what he showed us at that time was something that was, I'm gonna say, like, way above himself, but it was something like, as a standard that is hard for anybody to upkeep. You know what I'm saying? Like, for any player. So I just don't think that's the normal standard to base him off of. And he came out hot this season. He had some injuries, things have cooled down, but his normal self said he's a point guard that actually, I wouldn't say aggressive, but he's more of a passer than he is aggressive, but he usually mix it up and does well. And I think the fact that Pascal got there had taken away some of the aggression also. I think they have the guard play. They have the guard play. I just don't see the front court being it. You know what I'm saying? Enough. I don't see it being enough. Miles Turner is obviously really good. Pascal's very good. But when you got Giannis, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Porter's coming off the bench, I don't think they have enough depth and enough to stop those guys. And said Milwaukee, I said their best bet is that Milwaukee is still not finding themselves because they're switching things up. They said they had a lineup change. We don't know when Giannis is back. They're starting Dame and Pat Bev together now at the 1 and 2, which is an interesting start. That's someone you could take advantage of.
Halliburton should be feasting.
You would think so. Pat still plays defense pretty well. You know what I'm saying? So he can give him some toughness here. But honestly, for me, I think Malik Beasley, you got to score. Like, he's a really good shooter. I don't know what the conversation was with him. He's been shooting high clip all year. Defensively, I guess he has kind of taken, I wouldn't say a step back. Just, you know, kind of, I would say he hasn't been as aggressive as they would like him to be. He hasn't been that guy. I think he's more focused on the offense. But he is a capable defender. He's a bigger body.
They asked him to be the primary defender when he's never been the primary defender in his career.
Yeah. Well, you got to learn. He had to learn to pick it up faster. So he's got to do better. You can find some other pieces. You know, you picked up the guys you picked up. You have Crowder there. You brought in Gallo. Said, I don't know how much you use him well. But there's other pieces you could have went out and found. You had till trade deadline. You had some other. Chris Middleton had some injuries, but he's back. So he's a guy that you're going to have to use more. Chris Middleton, if you're going to have him there, you might as well use him as a primary defender. He's making all the big bucks. There's no more Drew.
So,
the small guard lineup and Chris Middleton, that's the guy that you're going to have to use as more of a primary defender. And if you're going to use Pat Bev at this time in his career, hey, man, more power to him. I love it. But I don't know if he can give you a full game series of 40 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like a full game of 40 minutes and a 7-game series of being the old Pat. But said Pat is definitely very capable of giving guys tough nights. So it's going to be interesting.
Who wins? How many games?
Milwaukee wins the series, man. It's going to go to six. It's going to go to six. It's going to five. Five. I got it in five. Indiana's just not who they were, man, where they in the beginning of the season. It's a different Indiana team.
Just to recap my picks, I got Cavs in six. I got Bucks in seven. I think the Pacers push them. And obviously, we can't break down the 1-8 and the 2-7 because we don't know how to play.
Five or six games, that series is over. It's just Indiana's not. And even though Milwaukee's not what they used to be, they're still going to win that series in five or six games.
Yeah, I think they find a way to pull it out. But I think the Pacers get some wins off them. All right, let's go to the Western
Conference. I do have to give more credit to Rick Carlisle. So Rick Carlisle could push it. So I'm going to say.
You know what I'm saying?
Six games. I'm going to say six games.
I'll give him seven games. Bucks get it done, but it's going to be spooky sometimes. All right, let's go to the play-in scenario in the Western Conference. And I have to admit, I was wrong. I've said it multiple times. I said it with
Phoenix wasn't making the playoffs.
I said it with 10 toes down. But hey, y'all, I couldn't have predicted that Kevin Huerter was going to be out for the rest of the season and that Malik Monk was going to miss four.
Yeah.
And was going to miss four. If I had knew that, I wouldn't have said what I said about the Phoenix Suns. But I live with what I said, even though injuries are a part of the game. With that being said, looking at the 9-10 matchup, it's Kings versus Warriors. Warriors have been playing very well as of recent, one of the better teams since the All-Star break. I'm sorry, Sacramento. And I know DeMontis Sabonis could potentially play well. He's not going to play well enough against this Golden State Warriors front line, the way Draymond Green and Trace Jackson Davis are going to be there. I know Fox could have a moment, but they got answers for Fox. They got Gary in the second. They got Andrew Wiggins. There's two when the Warriors are clicking, and they got Steph Curry going off for 30. They got Klay Thompson shooting the ball well. And they got Andrew Wiggins, who seems alive now, doing his thing, and then you still get Chris Paul in his pick and roll game with Trace Jackson Davis, making Trace Jackson Davis look like a real valuable asset to the team. There's just not enough for the Sacramento Kings team, particularly when they don't play defense. This is not going to be a contest. Well, then again, it's only one game, but the Kings can knock that, my friend. I'm assuming you agree.
Yeah, I think they're going home. They're going to need a night from HB. Harrison's going to have to play well. Obviously, DeMontis, Sabonis and Fox, De'Aaron Fox have to play their normal games, but they're going to need points from elsewhere. They just haven't had enough time. We said Herter's out, not enough shooting, not enough scoring. They used to just outscore teams, play at a fast pace, and just, you know, get up and down. That's what gave them the chance. If you don't have the points, Malik Monk, he's back. He's back now, right? How does he look?
He's not even back yet. He's not going to be back for this. He's not going to be back for the playing game. Nope.
He's going to be back for the playoffs if they make the playoffs. So if you don't have
if they make the playoffs, he has a chance.
Yeah. If you don't have Malik Monk and no Kevin Herter, no scoring, that means, and their defense isn't that great, you're not going to be able to stop Golden State. They're going to go home, man. So they're going to need really big nights to wear the shot. And you know the league, man. The league wants to see Steph in the playoffs. Nobody wants to see. If they have the choice to see who, you know what I'm saying, they want to see, you know, see must-see TV or popcorn games, they're going to be pushing for this Golden State, you know, matchup against whoever in the playoffs. So I think they're going to, they may get a little bit of help if things go south, but people want to see Golden State in the playoffs rather than Sacramento. Sad to say, but
So the Warriors move on to play the winner of New Orleans and Lakers. And I think this is just sad, honestly, Danny, because the New Orleans Pelicans have had themselves a pretty damn good season at 49-33 with a 598 winning percentage. If they were in the Eastern Conference, Danny, they would be the three seed. They would be the three seed. But now, because of the Western Conference, they're in the play-in. And unfortunately for them, the team that they have to play in the play-in is one of the few teams that could actually guard them. In my opinion, as I've really spent some time this past week really watching the Pelicans, if you have somebody who has size and strength to stay in front of Zion, you really cut their legs off, because that offense, particularly while Brandon Ingram was gone, even though he came back for Sunday, that offense has been shooters all around and let Zion go one-to-one to the basket. And when you have opposition like Anthony Davis, like a LeBron James, it's a lot harder for Zion to just assert his will. And this is where his skill development is going to be major key going forward, because you can't just bully everybody. Most people you can, but not the Lakers with AD and LeBron. That's the one team you can't bully. And because of that, we've seen it. We saw it on Sunday. We saw the in-season tournament. It's just not going to be enough. The Lakers are going to move on. They're going to be the seventh seed, in my opinion. Your thoughts, Pelicans, Lakers, play-in game.
I hate this for both those teams, New Orleans and Sacramento, because they both deserve to be in the playoffs and locked in. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to be so much more. They're going to be so much more on point and that much better to win these games. Like, teams want to see the Lakers and Golden State in the playoffs. The Lakers had played New Orleans previously in this past couple of weeks. They had beaten them. I honestly think the New Orleans would win this game if the Lakers didn't get – I think the Lakers are going to get a little help. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to get pushed. But I still think New Orleans could get them. They're going to have to use their speed. They're going to have to use their youngness.
They can. Who's winning the game?
I got New Orleans winning this game, and we have Lakers.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
I got C.J. McCollum playing a little better. I got Brandon Ingram playing. They got Trey Murphy off the bench. They got some shooters off the bench. They got Zion pushing the pace. I see. At least Lakers are running that. They had to exert so much more energy the last 3 weeks of this season to get where they are.
Just beat them on Sunday. Lakers, then what just happened on Sunday? It was a playoff.
You know how hard it is to beat a team twice? You know how hard it is to beat a team twice?
I understand. I understand. Hey, listen.
This is why I'm choosing them. I've seen the matchup.
I was in the league.
Memphis, they gave them a hell of a game. So they had to play Bron AD 40 minutes these last three. Bro, with the energy they had to exert to get to where they are, that's going to come back on them and hit. It's going to bite them in the ass, man. And I think it bites them in the ass this coming week playing against this young team. Then they're going to have to find the energy to beat Golden State in this last matchup for the last seeding. We're going to have somebody that we don't want out of the playoffs, out of the playoffs. And it's going to be one of those teams.
I understand your viewpoint. Ain't going to be me that's betting on it. The Lakers are getting the 7th seed. They'll see the Denver Nuggets in the 2-7. I do not think the Pelicans can pull this off. They're going to shut down. They're going to cut the water on Zion. It's really going to be about Brandon Ingram and what he can do. We'll see what
Who do you have them being at, or who do you have winning the game after that? New Orleans or Golden State? You got New Orleans going home?
New Orleans versus Golden State? I'm going to take Golden State. I got the Pelicans and the Kings, as good as teams that they've been this year. I have them missing the playoffs. I'm not betting against Draymond, Steph, and Clay, and Steve Kerr against the Pelicans. I'm not doing it.
I'm betting it. If they don't beat the Lakers, they're going to beat the next team. The Golden State, I don't think winning two games. They've been so inconsistent.
Okay.
One of those teams, and I think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. So one of those teams is going home, and I think it's Golden State. Like I said, Phoenix got in. Lakers are in position where they have to lose two to get out. They're going to win one of those games. New Orleans got in a position where they need to lose two to get out. They're going to want to. Golden State has to win two games to get in. They're going home, bro. That's okay. My bet. I see. Okay. It sucks. We don't want to see it. But so New Orleans has to be that much better in order to keep their spot because they have to be head and shoulders better than the Lakers, which I think they can in a night. They have to be head and shoulders above the Golden State Warriors. They can in a night. But they can do it. But so we know the league wants to see those two guys in the playoffs.
Okay. All right. I finally, because last week we already talked about the Clippers and Mavericks, that has been locked in already. The Clippers better get them in six because Luka might pick them off in seven. I think that was our sentiment when we talked about it last week. But the last matchup we'll talk about is the three-seeded Minnesota Timberwolves and the number six Phoenix Suns. This one is fascinating, Danny, because you have the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team that has been elite defensively all year long, going into a team that was supposed to be elite offensively all year long. Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. It was supposed to be one of the best offenses we've ever seen. It's been the exact opposite. Danny, I saw a stat that was so nasty earlier this week. Bruh. Their net rating in the fourth quarter is -12.5. -12.5. And just for some perspective, the team that's right before them in number 29, the Miami Heat, their net rating is -5. So we're talking about a full 7 points of net rating. It's absolutely crazy how bad they are. However, it's still Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. And yes, McDaniel's going to get put to the
I don't give a damn. They're going home. They're going home, bro. Give a damn what the names they have on that list. They're going home.
But it's interesting, though, because, okay, Cat's back now for the Timberwolves, right? That mm-hmm. should be an advantage because Cat gives the Timberwolves more size. But
that
Cat
gives,
plays at
that
the
gives
four.
Phoenix, who plays gives the, Phoenix more advantage.
Who plays the four for Phoenix? Who plays the four for Phoenix? Kevin Durant. What are the – if you're the you prided yourself on defense, your career, mm-hmm. as you should have. You're a damn good defender. If you are Chris Finch, the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, how do you resolute – this is probably – honestly, I think the Timberwolves win, but this is a bad matchup for them because of their heavy size – How do you guard the big three? Where are you putting Cat? Listen, who's Cat guarding?
I will say this. Cat coming back this late gives Phoenix an advantage because they haven't had that many minutes. Like, it sucks to try to put things together this late in the season, try to figure it. Like, they've played together, of course. But to get back in that rhythm, that's where they're going to be a little junky. It's go six games, but Phoenix is going home. They're just not that good of a team. You got Cat. You got Rudy Gobert. I'm just going to match up slow-mo with KD and put Jaden McDaniels.
But slow-mo? Not the starting lineup, though. Scobo's
you
not
put him in the starting lineup.
You
put him in the starting lineup. Who else? Who would you start over him? Who?
Bro, the starting lineup is
Mike Conley, Ant Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels. You have to start him. You have to start Cat, and you got to start Gobert. So what? You put Cat's coming off the bench?
No, Gobert comes off the bench. Oh, yeah, Cat could. It's his return. He's been out so long. I'm starting a little smaller. I'm sorry, unless you're gonna go offense because you're gonna make KD guard Cat and post. That's a mismatch for you. I'm cool with that.
That could work to the advantage. Does Cat have the discipline to actually post up KD?
And he has enough.
And even though KD is giving up a lot of weight, is Cat gonna actually be physical and put him under the rim so he can lay him up? Or is he gonna do these little jump hooks that KD could potentially block because KD is 6'11 his damn self?
We already know KD is going to guard Gobert, right? Like, and put Nurkic on Cat and make him guard him in a post and probably extend it. Or the mismatch, like the duo, what's the name? Like, if Cat's on the perimeter, they'll have KD on him. If he goes to the post, they'll probably put Nurkic. Like, you know how they'll play like a zone it up. Like, all right, if he goes down to the basket, whoever stays on the perimeter, KD is going to get. Whoever goes to the post, Nurkic will get, right? So there's plenty of there's a couple of ways that you can play it as Finch. If I'm Finch, I don't change my lineup. I make them adjust to me. KD, you're going to get your ass in the post. I'm going to post up one of those two guys. I'm going to punish you on the glass because he's not rebounding. So whatever shots we miss, Gobert, go get it. If he's guarding you, make sure he fucking has to box out or whatever it may be. But if not, if that does not work, you have the size, you have the pieces to match up with him with Slow-Mo, Jaden McDaniels, and Edwards, Conley, and then you have Cat at the five. You know what I'm saying? You have Gobert. You switch them off at the 4-5. You don't need to play them together. This ain't a Jokic series. It's Nurkic.
Yeah.
It's a big difference. You know what I'm saying? So you could play them like 1-5. Then you got Nazi Reed, too. You can start Nazi Reed if you need to. He can guard KD if you need him to. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cat's coming back. He's going to have to find a way to rhythm it. But you have so many pieces, so many offensively, I said, and said to outscore them because they're not scoring well. It's not, and they're not playing defense. They're not scoring. They're not playing defense. You're fine. Just play the way you play. I don't give a fuck what the matchup is, and you'll win the game. This fourth quarter is the only thing that I worry about with Minnesota. They're crunch time, clutch situations where they haven't been good.
But but Phoenix is so
they're
much
matching
worse,
out with though. Phoenix is so much worse. They'll be okay. So I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I would say if I was Finch, here's what I'd do. I was thinking maybe you put Jaden on. Here's what I put Jaden on KD. I'd put Ant on Book.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put Conley on Beal, and I would try to hide Cat on Grayson Allen. Now Grayson Allen might light him up, but
yeah,
if they're relying on Grayson Allen to win them the series, so be it.
Yeah,
that's how I think I will play it.
Yeah, Cat on Grayson Allen makes the most sense, honestly.
Yeah,
put Cat on Grayson Allen. You don't have to really hide him because all Cat do have to contest. Grayson ain't going to the. You go to the basket, you got Gobert there. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to shoot threes and maybe some pull ups. He's not like he's about to make a 1-on-1 move. So Cat, all he has to do is be out there ready to contest and not run to the paint like a normal big does.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go about it. It's interesting though because. Excuse me, as I've watched the Phoenix Suns, and Danny, I know you watched them too. It's so disappointing how their offense looks. I watched one game earlier this week, and KD, possession after possession in a close game, just sitting there in the corner, don't even touch the ball. There's no motion. There's no swinging of the ball in offense. If they had a fluid offense that embraced passing the ball and actually utilizing the full capacity of their stars, they would win this series. But that's not what they do.
They would be in a better position when they're in. They would be a higher seed. They win more series. They'd be more of a threat. But because there's only one basketball, there's too many of those guys, it's hard to do that. And, you know, Frank, I love Coach Vogel. He's very good defensively, offensively. I think he's good as well, but this is something he's never had to really deal with. This is a different type of animal, dealing with a three-headed monster. He's had Bron, AD. You know, he had Russ coming.
No point guard.
But, yeah, with no point. He's always had a point guard. He's always had two. Three is different, man. And it's that offensively, it's like, you know, trying to figure out how to manage the egos, how to get guys the ball in their spots, trying to get three guys the ball in their spots, and trying to stagger the minutes of who can play with the second unit,
all,
who can get.
When they all like to play in the mid-range.
And they're not going to play a lot of defense either. So you need shooters around them. You should have just surrounded them with shooters as best you can if you're going to play the ISO ball. But you got to find that continuity to where they're swinging the ball, moving it, a Golden State, San Antonio type offense. You know what I'm saying? That's just not the case right now.
Yeah, and that's how you maximize the squad, but that's just not what's going down. All right, broke down the whole playoffs. We'll be back later on this week to talk about the developments that happened in the play-in games. I will say this before we get out of here. Because I know all the MVP voters are probably have to turn in their ballots tonight before this, now that the season's over.
SGA.
SGA is the MVP. I don't care if Nikola Jokic is the better player. Who is the most valuable? That man led the youngest roster in the league by usage rate to the number one seat in the all-difficult Western Conference. I don't care if he's new to the ballot. don't matter. He's the most valuable, and it's unquestionable. Anybody who has any other different vote should be removed.
It should be ashamed of themselves.
It's been damn ashamed of himself. And I also say this, and I'm not saying this because I'm in New York City. If anybody, anybody has Jalen Brunson not in their top five for MVP voting, your right should be revoked. The man has led this team to the second best record in the Eastern Conference. The numbers, when you look at them,
with injuries,
absolutely staggering. Staggering. And what he has done without Julius Randle, leading this team to the number two record in the Eastern Conference. He had less games with Julius Randle than Dame Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo had together, and yet they still had a better record. Put that in perspective. Put that into perspective. Put some respect on that man's name. He is undoubtedly a top five MVP candidate. If I was doing it right now, Danny, and NBA.com is out of pocket. They did the MVP ladder the other day, and they had Jalen Brunson eighth in MVP voting. Which is
ridiculous. He's number four, bro. He's number four,
bro.
Number
it's four. Crazy. It's SGA. It's Jokic. It's Luka. And then it's Jalen Brunson. And after that, it doesn't even matter. That's the four. And anybody else who has it differently, honestly, who do we need to talk to get up them off the ballots? To get them turning the ballot? It's crazy that there's any other conclusion.
That's great. Yeah. What's crazy is him being top five still puts him as second team All NBA because it goes by position, right? Which is nuts.
No. But, so this is actually the first year. It's all NBA teams are positionless. What you will have though, there are going to be some writers or some voters, whatever, who don't want to upset the old guard, and they'll still do it by position because some writers will say, "Well, that's not fair. If we did that, then Patrick Ewing might have gotten 11 All NBA first teams, but he had to deal with Hakeem Olajuwon."
Times have changed, brothers. Sorry. You can just put that in your debates and your arguments when people talk about your resume. Listen, it was a different time then. I didn't make all defensive team because they did it by position. You know what I'm saying? I would have been on a couple, but it's like by position. You know, so that's how it goes.
That's how it goes. Yeah. So now it's all open. Jalen, if it was my all NBA first team, it's got to be Jokic, Luka, SGA, Jalen Brunson, and then after that,
don't matter.
Anthony Edwards, probably. I guess you could throw them. I don't really want to just throw somebody from Boston just to the sake of doing it. That's my top five. That's our playoff preview. Obviously, the play-in will happen later on this week. We'll break that down as we get ready for the weekend. Playoff basketball. The fun times are here. Thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a show, but a good one. Hope you enjoyed. Until next week.
Read, rate, subscribe, review.